if you are really looking for the challenge, look around and to see how can you make everybody's life much easier by changing things or implementing new things. Not just to go through with the flow, look for a next opportunity, what you can make a difference in your career and in the organization that you work.
Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. This episode is brought to you by our podcast partners at Real Time Reservation. Their inventory management system is best in class for hotels and resorts to manage their non-room inventory. The web-based application allows for creative upselling of overnight and daytime visitors with add-ons and pre-planned packages. Hotel guests and non-guests can reserve cabanas, pool chairs, activities, amenities, excursions, events, day passes, and much more. The real-time reservation platform offers a fully integrated pre-arrival portal where guests are verified through the property management system. Guests can prepay for cabanas and activities through credit card integrations, which are then processed through point of sale. All of our listeners that might be interested in using real-time reservation are welcome to explore the demo at realtimereservation.com. Once again, that's realtimereservation.com. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today I'm very excited to have my friend, Sammy Cohen, Vice President of Food and Beverage for Princess Cruises. Sammy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Welcome. Pleasure to be in here.
Well, Sammy, we've talked a lot over the phone, on LinkedIn, on different conversations, but never face to face about your story. So I'm actually very excited to have you because you have a whole long background of all different kinds of things. You've worked in cruises, in restaurants, in hotels, entrepreneurship, which I love seeing because you have a very unique background.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
If we go over everything, we might be here for 2 weeks, but I'm going to make sure we keep us on track here because you do have a lot of great experience. But we start every show the same way. And that is, what was your very first job in hospitality?
My very first job was actually working as a bellman out of a hospitality school in Turkey in a five-star hotel. I was a part of the famous luggage carriers for the hotel back in the days, you know, for the groups, for the large tourists. So I worked for a intercontinental hotel group in Istanbul. Mm-hmm. While I was studying my hospitality degree.
Amazing. So hospitality is what you wanted to do. You knew it because you're going to school for it.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
And was that something that your family did or was that something you just fell into?
No, actually, by coincidental. I was out of a high school. I was having a meeting with one of my school friends in Turkey in a very prominent area of a train station, international train station. All of a sudden, this beautiful train comes in, Orient Express, Venice Simplon. You know, I'm looking at it and I said, what's this? And my friend said, well, you know, this is the hospitality train. It's a hotel, a restaurant, bar that travels all the way from Venice to Istanbul and carries tourists. And I see all the employees coming out with the white gloves, and, you know, all whistles and bells. And I decided, I said, wow, this is interesting. I want to travel the world. I want to be part of this.
That's amazing. See, I was just reading a story about the Orient Express, and you mentioned it today. See, I was putting out that signal. I wanted to learn more about it. So you're doing that in Istanbul. You're the bellman, which seems to be a good job for a lot of people starting. We have had a lot of people who started their career that way.
Yeah.
What made you like it that say, all right, I'm going to continue to do this?
Well, through our hotel group, I got a scholarship to Cornell University in New York, upstate Ithaca. You know, I became a Fulbright student out of Turkey, and I graduated from there. I was very lucky to work for an international group like Intercontinental Hotel Group. They had a program back in the days. Once I graduate, I was looking for my next venture. And it wasn't the trains, but it was the cruise ships. So I joined back in 1990, almost 34 years ago, my first cruise line job on the famous transatlantic liner, QE2, Queen Elizabeth II, where we used to do 5 days international Atlantic crossing, Southampton to New York, New York to Southampton. Then summers, we used to do 110 days around the world, and some Mediterranean and, you know, Caribbean cruises. I joined as a head sommelier. I was in charge of all wine program. We had 8 different restaurants, 25 different sommeliers. I was in charge of the big wine cellar. It was the most expensive wine cellar, what we call at sea. Back in the days, 1990, it was worth over $6 million inventory.
That's amazing. So when you get on this cruise ship, because I've heard for people that when they start on a cruise ship, like the first couple of months are a little bit rough for them because they're not used to being in one space for so long. Is that what it was like for you in your role?
Yeah, definitely. First, you need to be ready for a long time, you know, away from your home, your loved ones, your mom and dad, or, you know, your brothers or sisters, even from your wife. I was lucky back in the days, it was a shorter contract. We were working on board 3 months on, 3 months off paid. Nowadays, you know, there was a British flagship. It was a union ship. So different rules and the regulations. Nowadays, it's a longer contract. So you do a minimum of 6 months and 2 months vacation, depending on your position. If you are on a high-ranking hotel or a deck and engine officials, you do 3 on, 3 off. So it is still a great opportunity. But the new ships, of course, that is coming out right now has a better quality crew life than what was 35 years ago, where I used to share a room with 6, 7, 8 people. Now it's 2 person in per cabin. Everybody have their own bathrooms. They have their own TV and internet. This didn't exist. It was more challenging back in the days.
So I have to say, I snore when I sleep. What happens if you get a roommate that snores? You just get used to that sound all night?
Yeah, you are like me. I snore a lot too. And definitely, you know, you need to have a pretty understanding cabin mates, what we call cabin shares, cabin mates that understands your situation. Not easy.
No, it's definitely challenging, but you do very well in the cruise line, right? So to kind of trace along, you work with a couple of great cruise line groups. Kind of give us that sequence. Give us a little fast forward of what you did.
I worked for a Cunard back in 1990. I did work for a great cruise line called Crystal Cruises. Mm-hmm. You know, Crystal Cruises, during the pandemic situation, they ceased operation. They declared bankruptcy. Now they have a new owner. But when I worked for them, it was a most luxurious award-winning ships. We had 2 ships. We won 20 years in a row the Food and Travel Magazine or Condé Nast Traveler Awards 20 years back-to-back for service, quality of the standards, food, entertainment, and bar. So I worked for Crystal Cruises 3.5 years as a food and beverage controller. I was an officer. I was in charge of all financial aspects of onboard food and beverage inventories, ordering, wow, accounting, and all that. Pretty, pretty big job. From there, I got an offer to go for a shoreside position in Miami in 1997 with a local operator called Apollo Ship Chandler. They are still in the business, the largest ship operating company. They currently operate Virgin Cruises, Regency, Oceania. They are food and beverage and housekeeping operators. Some of those cruise lines, they don't operate those areas themselves.
Oh, wow.
We do at Princess. So I work for Apollo. I launch Renaissance Cruises from 97 till 2001. I opened 8 ships. Almost every 3 months, we were opening a ship from France. a very small 700 guests, 200 employees, boutique cruise lines, which declared bankruptcy right after 2001 on September 11. From there, I moved with the Apollo to a Celebrity Cruises. I was a shoreside director for 2.5 years for Celebrity Cruises.
So let me ask you this, because I'm curious, for some listeners, including myself, shoreside means you're not on the ship.
Correct. It's an office corporate position.
And so how does that, were you seeking something like that because you were on the ship for so long that you wanted to be back on shoreside?
Yeah, you know, usually all the cruise lines, they built all their corporate positions from shipboard because it is a very unique environment and it's very difficult to bring somebody from a hotel or a restaurant group. We always say that, you know, any cruise line hospitality employee, manager, executive can run any of the hotels and resorts in large capacity inland. But same managers in land cannot run these cruise ships. So it is a much bigger operation. It is 24/7. It moves around. You know, you are on different countries. You have to do your, you know, loadings, your food and beverage loadings differently. You have a team of 58 different nationalities that you need to bring on board on different departments. You have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, or 6,000 people on board, breakfast, lunch, dinner, afternoon till midnight buffet. No hotels or resort does this.
That is true. I remember, you know, side note, I was on the Royal Caribbean. They took me inside the Oasis of the Seas, like underneath. Yeah. And I was shocked to see how organized everything is. And when they told me, like, Steve, we are ready to go when we leave shore, everything we need. We're not stopping at Publix or the supermarket on the middle of the ocean. So we have to be prepared. So very impressive.
Correct.
But you're doing shoreside. So you're doing shoreside now.
So from there, I worked with Celebrity. As I said, Apollo was doing food and beverage operation for the Celebrity Cruises. 2003, Celebrity merged with Royal Caribbean and they decided to take all their operation in-house. That's when I left the group. I worked for a very upscale Japanese cruise line doing the Royal Cruise for 4 years, 110 days Yokohama to Yokohama and all around the world. 2007, that was my last cruise line position. You know, I left as a director of hotel operations.
But this is for the World Cruise that goes around the world that we see of.
Correct.
And one of the more luxurious ships, and you're the director of all the operations.
Correct. Correct. Hotel operations.
What was that like for you being on this? Because you were with people, not just for a week at a time or a weekend. You're there for many months. Did you become friends with these people?
They become your family. You know, first of all, we have a unique individual situations that we know everybody's dietary restrictions. We know our guests, what time they will be waking up, what time they like to have their breakfast, lunch, and dinner, when they are going into a local port, what kind of arrangements that they will have, either a private tour or a limo-driven chauffeur tour all around the, you know, cities that we visit, the countries that we visit. It's very unique. You know, some of those guests, they've been doing it for many, many years, believe it or not. They don't even go out on a unique ports like that as well. So it goes hand in hand. It is a very unique situations. It is unlike 7-10-day voyages. You really get to know their family, their children, because they used to bring them on future cruises. It is like a cult. It's like a club, you know, and everybody comes twice a year to do this cruises. You know, they're all looking forward to see each other.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I want to talk about that a little bit later as we get going. But like you said, you decide to make a move and you get off of the cruise world for a while. And you touched on this a little bit. How was that transition? Because I know sometimes when I interviewed cruise people, I was like, oh, this is a cruise person. Maybe they're not going to be a great fit for the hotel. Was it hard for you to find something or did you have something lined up right away?
It wasn't hard. It was pretty easy. I had multiple job offers when I left. The reason that I left, I was newly married. You know, I wanted to spend the time with my wife, not to travel a lot. So I made that decision back then. And definitely, you know, I was able to join a great company and, you know, do a food and beverage operations. It was a unique place in Bal Harbour Shops. We had a French restaurant called La Goulue. We have another restaurant in Ritz-Carlton South Beach was Doré. So I run both operations for a restaurant group. It was a unique challenge, of course, unlike my cruise line experience, but I did apply some of the same ethics and the things that I learned. So I was quite successful. From there, you know, there was an opportunity to join with a very prominent designer, Stéphane Dupont, Dupont Group. Stéphane, who created back in the days the Nikki Beach. And so he was looking to open a great restaurant on Miami River back in the days called Sea Salt and Pepper. Now it's known as Sea Spice. I took that challenge as a director operation. It was the most successful opening since the Nikki Beach in Miami. We did gross close to first year $18 million. The restaurant was a hit the moment that we have opened. We opened right around 2014 New Year's. And then, you know, I stayed with the group. I opened multiple restaurants, nightclubs in Miami. I became a partner as well in a few through my equity investment. And it was a great knowledge, because to run an operation, you know, in land and get to know the realities of the market research, the customer database, and a local place. Still, it was seasonal in Miami, as you know. We have very slow months. Not anymore, because it changed it. Now, Miami is...
Everyone's coming here.
Everyone's coming. Food and beverage cities in United States. Everywhere is closing in LA, New York, Chicago, and everybody's opening in Miami.
Now, I wanted to touch on this part of your career, because you've done a lot up to this. And this is where I say you kind of got very entrepreneurial. Like you mentioned, you become partner in some of these restaurants. And for listeners who haven't heard of this restaurant, when he opened it, it was like the place to be. Every celebrity, I wish I knew you back then, because I would have to wait outside, even though I had a reservation for a long time, and I would get in and have a good time still.
we had everyone. We had a lot of locals, repeaters. It was the place to be. And still is under, you know, Sea Salt operation. Unique place on Miami River, mystical. You could come with the car, you could come with the boat. You know, now it's multiple restaurants in the same area. But we were the pioneers. Nobody knew anything about the history of Miami River. You know, this was the days of the Tequesta Indians that they settled in Miami and had a lot of Indian history on the river. The river was a big drug trafficking area back in the 80s, you know, from different Caribbean ports, and still is an active river with the container ships that pass through right in front of it. It's amazing. I remember a few stories when I was trying to recruit people into the restaurant. You know, outside of our restaurant was like black painted warehouse. And small story of the location, that was actually the air hangar for Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes used to keep his seaplane right in between those two hangars, which we turned them into a beautiful restaurant. So if you don't know what is on the other side, how it's designed and the view, you know, my prospect of employees, the bartenders, bar waiters, cooks, waiters, they used to come and stay outside, you know, look into the restaurant. All black, no lights. They don't know what's inside. They used to call me, Mr. Sami, thanks for the opportunity, but I don't think this is something right for us. It took me a while to get a opening team. I had 90-plus employees between bar, restaurant, and the galley. We had a great chef, Alfredo Alvarez, who is no longer, you know, with us. He passed away a couple of years ago. He had a great culinary career. In fact, he started his career in the cruise lines as well. So I knew him from that. When we opened, when we became a hit restaurant, I had a gazillions of resumes every day that people, you know, they were dying to work for us. But it was a challenging. And thanks to Stéphane, who is still my great friend, see that area and see the opportunity and bring that unique place into Miami nightlife.
Yep, it's successful still to this day. But I had a question about one of them, because I really thought it was going to be a hit when you opened up on the other side of the river, River Yacht Club. Can you give me a little bit of that? Because sometimes in our career, we have highs. Sometimes we have some things we learn from. What happened at this one? Because it was beautiful.
This space actually took us 3 years to open, almost $9 million. Sit on a 40,000 square feet, multiple bars, restaurants, different food and beverage concepts, open air concerts that we had over there with Brazilian singers, with rap, you know, singers. The place could hold as high as 3,000 people standing.
Wow.
We created a unique restaurant, multiple restaurants. One was the grill, which was all open area. We created a great sushi restaurant called Dashi with the super cool menu and the chef, or an inside restaurant where accordion doors would have opened into the river. And then we had the private dining with the private membership, with the Van Dutch Yachts member club. A lot of things that was moving over there. Very, very large space. And we were doing very good, very successful until a hurricane hit. And we lost the entire seawall of the restaurant. All outside facilities were destroyed. We had a partner who owned the real estate, almost 6.5 acres around the River Yacht Club. His original plan was, which is now under construction, to build 3 towers and then, of course, demolish the River Yacht Club down the road. He was going to use the place as a real estate attraction, you know, point to sell his hotels, condo residences, and all that. So when the, you know, incident did happen, he didn't want to invest in the seawall back then. We closed the restaurants. We lost a great business. I was partner in there too.
Yep.
You know, we lost a lot of employees, and nothing was, you know, open into the same place again until a year ago. They destroyed, leveled down the entire place and building a 60-story tower. I think they're on the 40th floor right now. So that's the story of the River Yacht Club.
Oh, it was amazing. I remember thinking, wow, yeah, this is amazing. And then I never knew that part of the story, that the hurricane knocked it out. I always wondered what happened, because it was such a big place and I saw it under construction for so long, because, you know, I had a boat at that time. We would go up and down the river and see it, and it was always lively. I went there a couple of times. So was there anything you learned from that, that if you were going to do something in the future, you would do differently?
Yeah, when you have a small successful place like a Sea Salt and Pepper one with 18 million, don't think that if you multiply the space 3 times larger, you're going to make a $60 million out of it. No. Miami nightlife restaurant still, yes, it's booming, but still with a handful of people, as locals I'm talking about, not the tourists, of course, that do spend their time in Miami. Miami is a unique market, and everybody have their own days. And we had our days on Sundays. You know, we have places like Bagatelle, they do Tuesdays. We have Baoli on Wednesdays. We have another restaurant on Thursday. So, you know, the same group of people that goes all these places, they go everywhere. So you can't, you know, really attract more than it is. And of course, you know, Miami was still developing 3-4 years. It has excelled it with pandemic. Thanks to, you know, our state, we recover very faster than the others. We didn't stay closed many months or years like other states, New York, Los Angeles, and we gained. And that was a very great opportunity for Florida.
And so I want to talk about this now. I want to make a little jump, because I know you have another role that you go to. And if it connects, let me know. But I want to get to you jumping in January 2020 to SBE.
Yes.
And this is when, you know, I had known of you, but this is kind of when you came on my radar and we started to chat a little bit more during this time. So how did that happen? How did you join as the complex director of food and beverage for the SLS Lux and SLS Brickell?
Running a nightlife. Actually, it's more than that, because I did have also at one point SLS in Nassau as well. So, you know, of having operating successful large volume restaurants, nightlife, and all that, it gave me some recognition and opportunity. I knew Sam for, as my guest from River Yacht Club, Sam Nazarian, owner of the SP, brilliant guy. He is the next generation visionaire that he created his group based on restaurants, food and beverage, nightlife, where every other hotel operators were trying to close their food and beverage facility or outsource it. Sam owned a bunch of nightlife operations in Los Angeles, Hyde Beach, Katsuya restaurants, and he was excelling. You know, he had a partnership with Jose Andres for Bazaar. We had a couple of other huge celebrity partnerships. We had one with Morimoto. We had another one with Dario Cecchini. So he knew that excelling the food and beverage operation, nightlife operation, will elevate his hotels, SPE, SLS. So we own SLS, Delano, Hyde Beach, all in the United States and some international locations. So I had the opportunity to run SLS Brickell, SLS Lux. I had the opportunity to run the Hyde Midtown 60-room hotel and also open the SLS in Nassau, which was the flagship with almost 20 restaurants and nightclub, all that, as a complex director for South Florida. It was a very large operation. We had the Hyde Beach on SLS South Beach, still is, doing $1 million on every Sundays. I work with my counterparts to promote it. We had the Delano was still open.
Yeah, what happened to Delano? Because I used to work there, and I walked by it yesterday, still under construction. Is that still part of SBE, or is that sold to
Delano? Well, it's SLS Hotel Groups. SBE is still belongs to Sam. SLS Hotel is now part of Cork.
Yep.
And the Accor owns the name right of the Delano when we sold it, when Sam sold it, his hotel group entirely. And they are developing. And in fact, they are taking the brand internationally. There is a Delano in Cancun under construction. There is Delano in Saint-Tropez under construction. So Accor, it is one of the largest hotel groups. They bought all the rights of the SLS, Hyde, Delano, and the all the other hotels, Mondrian, under the group. And Sam was out of a hotel operation. That's when I joined his next generation, Ghost Kitchens, C3, where we created almost 20 different brands, food and beverage brands, and then started to open delivery-only projects, opening multiple food courts, the largest one in Hudson Yard in New York, Citizens. We did one in Miami, which was closed, and then I think reopening again in Brightline. We had one in Atlanta. We had one in Los Angeles. I worked with Sam on the Ghost Kitchen concepts, roll out most of his, projects and involved with a digital kitchens.
I want to stop here because that was something really interesting to me. That's how you and I started talking, if you remember. It was like right before the pandemic hit. I was very into Ghost Kitchens when I was working at Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel.
You were at Lowe's back then.
I was at Lowe's, yeah. Yes. I was like, I showed this business plan to my boss, Mutlu, who we know very well, still a very good friend of mine. Presented it to corporate. They're like, no, we don't want all these delivery drivers coming to the hotel. I was like, no, it'll work. And then you started doing it with C3. It came out right after. And I was like, see, guys, I told you, SB is going to do this now. And so you were doing it. And it was very hot for those couple of years.
For Sam, still hot. I don't know how much you know, but
I don't know enough yet.
He has recently purchased the two largest players in the market, the Kitchen United from Uber's founder, and Nextbite. He's still very bullish on that. He actually is now back in the hotel business with his new partner, Mark Anthony, in the group. They have signed a new hotel deal, HQ, with Wyndham, 50 new hotels. So he's still back, but he is good at it. Kudos to Sam. He's a visionary hospitality guy. Yep. And ahead of his time. It was a pleasure, you know, working with him. You know, he actually mentored me and opened my knowledge into a different areas. Right after with the C3 SPE, I was given an opportunity to head as a chief operating officer for a similar concept, wired kitchens. This time, you know, rebuild the old infrastructures for companies like C3, Next Byte, or a Kitchen United, DoorDash, or Uber, and give them a full turnkey commissary kitchens all around the United States to operate it. So I launched almost 800 projects with them.
Wow.
It was very vibrant and, going operations. And one morning, I received a phone call. I was in New York opening another ghost kitchens for the wired kitchens. A very good friend of mine who I started my career, I said, 1990, back in the QE2. He was the youngest executive chef, a legendary guy, Chef Rudy Sodamin, who was a culinary consultant for Carnival Corporations, where he had his restaurants in Carnival Hall in America. He was being assigned to Princess Brand, and Princess was just coming out of a return to service into the operation. And he said, hey, we have a great opportunity, Vice President Food and Beverage Operations for Princess. The company needs somebody in your background to bring the ships into the return to service and be a part of the next generation, Princess Food and Beverage Operation. So it was exciting because I started my career in the cruise line. And I always had a dream of, joining into one of the large corporations in the same role. So I said, okay, I'm interested. So I came down to Fort Lauderdale, met with my president, John Padgett. We had a great an hour talk. A few days later, I had an offer and I joined almost now going into 19 months, 20 months in the operation with Princess. I bring some of our existing ships return to service, almost like a startup during the pandemic. The cruise lines suffered financially the most. They did not receive a single dollar from a government subsidiary. So everybody, really floated their operation themselves. We were very, lucky enough to be a part of the Carnival Corporation. We were fortunate enough to bring all our ships, bring all our crew, our employees back into the service and restart. It took a while. And then more and more, effects of the pandemic was released from our operation, testings, masks, other things. We were getting into our full level. I can, happily to say that we are now back into almost pre-pandemic occupancies in the cruise industry. Back in 2019, we are, superseding our numbers and our revenues as well as the guest booking times. And it was a very good opportunity to bring a new ship for Princess, just finished 2 weeks ago. Largest, the biggest, the most food and beverage friendly ship, Sun Princess, into an operation successfully. We had almost 29 different restaurants and bars. Over there, it is the biggest ship that was built in Italy, 178,000 ton, LNG powered, first for us, 4,500 lower berth, 5,500 all upper berth, full capacity with 1,800 employees on board. They are finishing tomorrow their second cruise. The ship is sold out entire Mediterranean season. She is doing 10-day cruises from Athens to Barcelona to Rome in between. And, I'm so happy with my team that, we were successfully, launched this large project. And we have another one coming out 2025 August, sister ship of Sun. This is going to be the Star Princess. And we're going to do it again.
Amazing. And congratulations to getting that going. Now, you unpacked a lot. So I'm going to reverse back a little bit because I wanted to hear this whole journey, which is fantastic. But you were working now, Wired Kitchens. You get this call. And for some people, they may not know because they've never done what you have done. But I'm pretty confident you get used to working as different in startup world, right? Startup world, you have a little bit more flexibility. You're always moving. You're always going. Your creativity, you can be entrepreneurial. How has it been going back to a more standard corporate role? Is it the same? Have you brought some of what you were learning in those places to where you are now? How is that for you?
First of all, as you said, corporate role. Princess is a part of the world's largest cruise line company, Carnival Cruises. We have between nine brands, over 115 ships. We are one of the brands of the Carnival, the second largest one to the Carnival Cruise Line. We have Holland America, Seabourn, Cunard, AIDA. We have P&O UK, P&O Australia, and Costa Cruises. So corporate has different rules and structures, but I'm very lucky to work for a gentleman, my president, who trusts in my capability and give me a almost white card to do what it is necessary to bring the guest ratings, guest satisfaction, revenue, and bringing the next generation food and beverage operation into the line. So when I do have that opportunity as a flexibility, it makes my life easier. Definitely there are balances and checks, cost structures that I still have to go through a different level. But, I'm so happy that I was able to join Princess and to do what I'm doing and loving every day. Until 2 weeks ago, I was in charge of 15 ships, 11,000 employees under my food and beverage program. And now it's a 16 ship that joined. So it is the largest department within our company, food and beverage, which is culinary, dining room, bar, stewarding. It is a big job.
It's a big job. And you touched on it. You have so many employees, so many different leaders, so many different ships. How do you keep yourself organized throughout the day?
I surround myself with a very capable, trusted corporate workers, corporate directors. I have a culinary team that works with me in the office. In Princess office, since I joined, we decided to bring our culinary research and development in-house, and I created the largest test kitchen in our facility, almost as big as our kitchens. I have a culinary director, I have a director restaurant operations, I have a director bar operations, I have a director of fleet food and beverage. I do surround myself with a team that is able to travel, manage, and do what they need to do at best to deliver the results. I traveled within my first 12 months, all 15 ships. We have ships all over the world. We have ships in Alaska, East Coast, West Coast, Europe, Antarctica, Japan, and Australia. So I wanted to see every different level, every different operation, meet with my teams on board, introduce myself. So that was my first challenge, which I was able to do it within 12 months, visiting a ship, going through their operation, sailing with them, 6, 7, 8 days, understand their challenges, opportunities, and provide them a support plan. So that really helped me. And of course, this wouldn't be possible without an understanding family with my wife and the kids. I travel a lot still. I do visit my ships. I was at the shipyard almost a month and a half before the opening and able to launch our biggest and most successful ship, Sun Princess.
Amazing. And you do it all, seems very calmly, and you are doing it very successfully because I was taking a look at all the reviews. All the reviews look amazing online that I see. So congratulations to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, I know you're a busy man, but I have just two questions left. You have so much going on. I'm not asking you for your five-year plan, but what are you most excited about in the next year? What's coming up that you're most excited about? I know you mentioned a new ship. Is that what you're most excited about? Is there anything else going
on? Correct. That's our next in plan. How are we going to, we successfully launched Sun. How are we going to make it more successful on the Star? things that we are learning, right now, how we can change, correct, and adapt into our next generation ship. And we still have a lot to do on our existing fleet, on the food and beverage front. Last year, first time ever, we have won 15, one per ship, Wine Spectator Award. We have won the best beverage program in the hospitality. We have won the best food in our main dining rooms. Many awards that is, couldn't be possible without my hardworking team. And now they got the taste of these awards. They are looking for more opportunities. So we are, creating an excited plans. We are mixing our food and beverage with entertainment and nightlife. Never been done on a cruise ships before. So we want to find that tune and excel on that.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've got to find my way onto the Princess Cruises soon. We've been on a bunch of others, my family and I. We love cruising, so I got to let you know when we start to book a Princess Cruise.
Definitely. We're looking to host you.
So, Sammy, my last question here, what we always ask everyone on the show, but if young Sammy, the bellman, back in Istanbul Intercontinental, was saying, hey, I would love to join you today on your Princess Cruises, what advice do you have for young Sammy who would be starting on your team?
First of all, education is more important than anything in the career. In many educational levels, it helps to start your career. And to be humble and learn every aspect of your desire. If you want to be a good restaurant manager, start with a dishwasher. Because without having that backbone of the operation in any restaurant, the front wouldn't be possible. Get to know every single level of the positions. Go through the channels. Learn from your experienced managers or your experienced peers. And if you are really looking for a challenge, look around and to see how can you make everybody's life much easier by changing things or implementing new things. Not just to go through with the flow, look for a next opportunity, what you can make a difference in your career and in the organization that you work. The times have changed with the technology in place. Learn more of a technology, adapt more new way of utilizing service, guest experience, and most importantly, always put yourself into the other side, the guest, and see the experience yourself. Travel a lot, learn from other places, and open your eyes. Don't use a host blinder. That doesn't mean that things were done in a way for 20 years. That doesn't need change. Everything changes as we go along.
I think that's amazing advice. And man, just rewind that last minute and you have some great career advice for anybody listening. Sammy, I'm cheering you on, especially everything you have going on. I'm a big fan of yours. And for listeners, if you're not driving, check out Princess Cruises. They've got some amazing cruises that you can ride on and get to experience all the things that Sammy's teams are doing, especially in the food and beverage world. Sammy, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much. And we look forward to hosting everybody on Real Love Boat, the Princess Cruises.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.